for maybe to get to know some candidates that you weren't aware of, just because there's only so much oxygen in a room. And Walker Stapleton's a name that many people know statewide. Victor Mitchell, one is you're learning, Doug Robinson. So I've invited all the cast of characters on the show, long form. Victor Mitchell, his crew, very gracious, the first quickest to respond. Everybody else still, they're working on it. They'll get to it. But Victor Mitchell, welcome back to my show. It's nice to have you here on Fox News Radio 600 KCOL.
Hey, it's great to be back, Jimmy. I hope you've been doing well.
I've been doing very well, and I told you, I know you guys wanted to come in, but I just got in out of town. So anyway, we'll coordinate face-to-face real soon. I look forward to that. But hey, let me ask you, I want to kind of start 35,000 feet. So many times, Republicans, and year after year, you know, Para, we hear about Tabor, we hear these other issues, and they're all very important to me. But I sometimes think we as conservatives need to shake up the apple cart, my opinion. And we need to come, let's get some big ideas floating. I just had an economist on last hour talking about the 9 states in America that don't have a state income tax do better in their economy than the states that do. Have you or any thought about you really shaking things up the way we do in business? I mean, a state income tax, is that ever feasible to get rid of in the state of Colorado? Would that be something a winning platform might entail, since there's proof in other states that it actually works out in the business model?
The answer is absolutely. I mean, that should be on the table. I mean, we are not competitive with states like Texas and Wyoming. We have a 4.63% state income tax here in Colorado, and it actually makes up a significant portion of our general fund revenue stream. But absolutely, I mean, we want to be as competitive as we can. I don't know if you've been following, but, you know, the Denver Chamber of Commerce just dropped a bomb this past Friday. They now want to dramatically increase our state sales tax, and they want to fund CTOT through an increased tax. And people, so if your listeners know, I mean, 70% of CDOT's budget today goes to overhead, goes to studies, and a good portion of it goes to waste and, frankly, inefficiency. I've come out strongly opposed to any new tax increases, and I think we should also look, as you just mentioned, also at our state income tax. If there's a way we could reduce it or even potentially eliminate it, we should try to do that.
You talk about CDOT, and I think it's the deep state of Colorado. I think it's a black hole, and I've actually used those numbers that you've talked about, that 70% goes to bureaucracy and not to actually fixing roads. Here's a frustration I have, Victor. These politicians down, I call it the Dome of Dummies. There's some smart people down there, but they get down there and sometimes their brains get checked out. So it's just bizarre what happens down when you get politicians and bureaucrats in a room. We're told over and over again, we don't have enough money in this state. We've got to get rid of Tabor. We've got to raise taxes, all this stuff. And yet Colorado's proposed budget this year is $30.5 billion. That's the largest in state history, over $1 billion more than what we had in the last budgetary year. I think Coloradans are smart enough to figure out we have enough money down in the state coffers. We just don't have anybody really managing it.
That's exactly right. I mean, when I was elected as a state representative a decade ago, I represented one of the most conservative districts in Colorado, in Teller and Douglas counties. We had an $18 billion budget at that point. Today it's now, last year was $29 billion. This year I think you said it's $30.5 billion. We do not have an issue with size of our revenue of the size of our budget. We've actually increased our budget by about 40% in the last decade, and our population growth has been about 22%. So we're growing state government about 2-to-1 to population growth. The biggest issue is that we waste money. I mean, there is this government enterprise, for lack of a better word, that. You know, you just take a look at our Medicaid industry. I mean, it is an enormously inefficient, bloated bureaucracy. Now, 1 in 4 Coloradans today are on Medicaid, yet we have a very low unemployment rate. We have very high numbers of people now in Colorado that are on state disability. We've got many different wastes and inefficiency in our state government today, and that's why we need a reformer such as myself that, you know, I've spent my whole career in private industry building companies from nothing. I've never signed anything other than the front side of a paycheck. I've created thousands of jobs, many of them here in Colorado, and I think if we're going to reform our state bureaucracy, we're going to have to bring in outsiders, that people actually have created things from nothing, know what it takes to make tough decisions, know what it takes to be decisive, and have good judgment and values.
We talk about these billions of dollars, and that is with the B that's operating in the state budget. You know, the average citizen, I don't know if anybody's done the research, the average citizen in Colorado living their life, driving their truck to work, driving their car to the office, whatever they're doing, they maybe in the course of a year come in contact with maybe the person at the DMV, the county clerk. They come in contact with literally 2 to 3 government officials, state, county, and local municipality per year. That's their interaction with the government. And it seems as if those are the areas where we have horrible customer service, but you have these bloated towers of bureaucracies that then never come in touch with the taxpayers. You kind of expect that in Washington, D.C., but more and more, we're getting more and more of that in the state. We come in contact with the person, the license and county clerk and a driver's license. But we've got these towers in Denver that just are filled with people that never do, that we don't ever know their impact on our lives. And sometimes their impact on our lives is just simply regulatory and bureaucracy.
That's exactly right. I mean, we have so many people, just look in our state government today. You know, people run from one office to another. In Congress, there's no term limits. Here in Colorado, at least, we have term limits for most of our elected positions. But even so, people are running from one office to another. I mean, I think we should support resign to run, meaning that if you're going to run from one office to another and you're collecting a government paycheck and you're campaigning full-time, you should resign in order to run for a different position entirely. Why should the Colorado taxpayers be paying people to run for office? You know, but that's just one step in the process. We also have, there was recently a study, Jimmy, that they, you know, these are people under 30 years of age here in Colorado, so they think they can do better working in government than they can in the private sector.
Wow.
I mean, that's just unacceptable. We've got to change that mindset. We've got to be much more inspirational. People have to believe that it's worth their time and effort to go out and start a small business or take a risk. The modern economy works just so differently than it did even just a few years ago, and we have to get rid of our, you know, really reform our bureaucracies. There's so many mismanaged bureaucracies we have in state government today. I plan to very aggressively challenge the status quo and really look at things from a different perspective.
Victor Mitchell, hold on. If you want to jump in, he's a candidate for governor in the state of Colorado. He's the first one that's accepted my hour-long interview request. He'll take your calls, 866-888-5449. Jump in the queue. Sweet Petals will get a little brief information, and you'll ask a quick question, and we'll have Victor Mitchell respond to you. Again, 866-888-5449. He could be your Republican nominee for governor, and maybe you got some questions before you make your final decision. 866-888-5449, Fox News Radio, 600 KCOL, Victor Mitchell with me. More in just a second. Very quickly, this portion of the program brought to you by Northern Colorado's premier window replacement retailer. I'm talking about Next Gen Windows. And I've talked about the Infinity from Marvin window technology and the Ultrex fiberglass, how it stands up to the extreme weather patterns that we have in Colorado. Well, they've also just announced a fantastic deal, hard to pass up. 24 months of no interest financing. You can get those old windows replaced and get free financing for 2 years. NextGen offers Infinity for Marvin replacement. They, again, handle the extreme Colorado weather. And even if you just want to talk to them, you say, I got one window, one room, I'm not ready to do the whole house, they'll work with you on that as well. I promise you they will. They'll take all the fear, the intimidation, and the sticker shock out of it, and they'll figure out what you need and how you can make it work for you. The special offer, 24 months no interest financing, ends February the 28th, so you got to just this month to get it done, or at least start the process. Act fast. Visit them today. Are you ready? NoCosBestWindow.com. I pause, concentrate, ready? NoCosBestWindow.com. Make sure you tell them Jimmy Lakey's talking about them on the radio. I'll be back in a moment. Jump in, 866-888-5449. I want to talk about marijuana. I want to talk about CDOT some more. I want to talk about the Public Employees Retirement Account. What do you want to talk about with Victor Mitchell, candidate for governor, 866-888-5449, Fox News Radio, 600 KCOL. I'll give you a hint. Lines are wide open right now.
Take it easy. what's trending.
This memo was
the president doesn't want the public to see the underlying facts.
This report from the Democrats
packed it full of sources and methods.
Threatened national security.
Stay informed.
This budget agreement
by staying connected.
One of the biggest spending increases.
Add $1 trillion in debt.
Check in for the very latest.
The war machine.
The Iranian regime.
Brazenly violated Israel's sovereignty.
Rob Porter
did a very good job while he was at the White House.
This.
That's like saying that axe murderer.
He's a great painter.
Is Fox News Radio 600 KCOL.
Looking for an experienced estate planning lawyer? Look no further than Stone Law in Loveland. Stone Law offers elder services, asset protection, tax planning, wills and trusts, and so much more. Call 663-2121 or visit stonelawllc.org for more information.
At Cuterelli Vision, we've made LASIK as easy as 1, 2, 3. Step 1, schedule your free consultation by calling 970-225-2300. Step 2, during your free consultation, our highly skilled doctors and staff will perform a series of precision tests to determine if LASIK is right for you. Step 3, if you are a good candidate for LASIK, you will meet with our LASIK counselor who can help make LASIK affordable for nearly any budget and get you scheduled for this potentially life-changing procedure. Call before February 20th. And you can save an incredible $1,000 off LASIK. Plus, we've made LASIK more affordable than ever by offering 24-month 0% financing. Now, it's time to take the first step to the clear vision you deserve by calling Cuterelli Vision at 970-225-2300 for your free LASIK consultation. That's 970-225-2300 or visit CuterelliVision.com. Cuterelli Vision, Colorado's number one choice for LASIK and cataracts.
Certain restrictions apply. Individual results may vary. Financing with approved credit.
Looking for an exciting career in radio advertising sales? iHeartMedia of Northern Colorado and Southern Wyoming is always on the lookout for innovative people and is now hiring experienced account executives. Must be self-driven, possess strong communication skills, and be goal-focused. If you'd like to join our team today, check out iHeartMediaCareers.com and search Loveland Sales. iHeartMedia is an equal opportunity employer.
Checking out the movies this weekend?
Here's your box office preview.
New this weekend is Black Panther, the 18th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Following the character's appearance in 2016's Captain America: Civil War, he returns home only to have the kingdom threatened by enemy forces. Black Panther then teams up with the CIA and members of an all-female militia to save his home and the lives of those he holds dear. This superhero action film stars Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. Jordan, Lupita Nyong'o, and Martin Freeman. From the creators of the Wallace and Gromit shorts comes the stop-motion animated comedy adventure Early Man. During the Stone Age, a group of early humans face a powerful external threat, and one brave caveman rallies his community to fight back and save themselves and their community. Eddie Redmayne, Tom Hiddleston, Maisie Williams, Timothy Spall, and many more lend their voices. Still in theaters are 50 Shades Freed, Peter Rabbit, The 1517 to Paris, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and The Greatest Showman. Plus Maze Runner, The Death Cure, Winchester, The Post, Hostiles, and The Shape of Water. And that's your weekend box office preview on iHeartRadio.
Lakey now, Limbaugh next, Levin later on 600 KCOL.
All right, welcome back in. Victor Mitchell running for governor of the state of Colorado for the Republican nomination. We're getting close to all those decision times being made in the next few months, and I want you to know as much about all the candidates as possible. Victor Mitchell is with me. Victor, let's start off. Let me have you give the website. People can learn more about you there, but let's give it several times here. Victor Mitchell, what website do they go to?
They can go to vicforgov.com, V-I-C, the number 4, G-O-V.com, or you can follow us on Facebook with the same handle or Twitter. And we now actually have, Jimmy, over 45,000 Facebook supporters, more than all my opponents combined. We've been working really hard. We've done over 450 grassroots events. We do several a day. And any of your listeners, if they'd like to come out and hear me speak and meet me in person, you're always welcome. They're always free. So I hope to see some of your listeners out on the trail as well.
VicForGov.com. And again, if you want to jump in here, I've got one line open, 866-888-5449. You can talk directly to Victor Mitchell and ask a question. Let me read a question that came in. This is from Jay in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. Mr. Mitchell, I've heard you talk a lot about programs you want in the state, most recently something about a STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math degree in education, some kind of a program. Bottom line, let me scan through this. What's up with the program, and how are we going to pay for new programs when we don't want to raise taxes in the state of Colorado? I'll let you take that question from there.
So thanks so much, whoever, from Jay and Highlands Ranch. That's my home district in Douglas County. And a good piece of trivia, actually, we've never in the history since statehood ever elected a governor from Douglas County. So I'm going to make history this year with the help of your listeners. But to answer your listeners, Jay's question specifically, I put forward a very bold plan on higher education. And first and foremost, we're not going to have any tuition increases for the entire term of my administration. We're now the fourth most expensive state in the country to send a kid to in-state college, which is just ridiculous. I mean, it's college is becoming more and more out of reach for so many of our kids. However, what I plan to do is taking all of our state funding today that we use to subsidize higher education and earmark all that money for STEM, meaning that science, technology, engineering, and math disciplines. Right now, if you want to study, say, electrical engineering at CU or CSU, it's the most, just about the most expensive degree you can pursue. I want to make them the least expensive degree because they change people's lives. And these are the jobs we have 3 to 5 times as many high-paying jobs available today in Colorado than qualified kids who are graduating with these disciplines. Actually, only 1 in 4 Coloradans today are graduating with a STEM degree. And there's been so much talk about income disparity, income inequality, but the best way to bridge income inequality is to take a kid that's at risk and you get them through high school, you remediate them, you get them to college, you get them to graduate with a degree in computer science or physics or what have you, another STEM discipline. They're immediately into the middle class. A lot of these jobs start at like $80,000 a year. So they're really game changers. So I'm not calling for more taxes or fees, but we have a $29 billion, or actually a $30 billion state budget today. I think higher education should be a major priority of my administration, and I'd like to see a lot more kids, especially young girls, taking up these STEM disciplines.
I'm summarizing because we got a lot of people interacting here in the chat room and sending me messages and things like that. Speaking of education, obviously there's teachers' unions that they fight in Douglas County schools, etc. Jefferson County schools, a big brouhaha about school choice, about charter schools. Where does Victor Mitchell stand on, before you get even to the university setting, to charter schools, school choice in Colorado?
Well, school choice is fundamental. I mean, we 50% of our at-risk kids today in Colorado graduate from a Colorado public high school, can't do college-level work. Many of these kids come from our rural communities, of which they have really virtually no school choice. They're not teaching AP classes. We're not teaching vocational training in our schools. So these kids are really at risk. I believe in all forms of school choice. I've been part of the school choice movement for decades. I served on the House Ed Committee when I was a legislator. I've served on the Colorado Commission of Higher Education as well. I've taught at 2 major state universities. I think the money should follow the student wherever they go. But I think we should also do a lot more to embrace online curriculum into the classroom. I mean, it's never been a better time for education than it is today. I mean, you can basically learn just about anything and embrace those technologies today into the classroom. The teachers' unions are a big problem. Not the teachers, but the teachers' unions are a big problem. So we have to come up with ways to really encourage them not to join unions or disavow their membership. But I've talked to a lot of teachers. Recently, I just talked to one last week that teachers in the Denver public school system, and he tells me the biggest motivator for many teachers to join the union is because they get prepaid legal services. They're so worried about being sued with a false allegation. So I think there's a great deal we could do as well to really discourage our teachers not to join the unions and be part of the reforms that are needed. I mean, so many teachers, they want to have more control over the curriculum. They don't want to spend as much time teaching to the test, to the standardized annual testing. So there's much that can be done, but I'm actually very bullish, and I think a great amount could be done to reduce this high rate of delinquency we have where so many kids are graduating without being college ready, as well as really embracing vocational school training in many of our rural communities.
Let me ask you, I'm not asking, I don't want any of our candidates as Republicans to get into, a civil war. I'm not looking for that. But how do you differ from, give your definition of how you differ, and obviously in your opinion, better in the topic of education, both pre-university and university setting, how do you differ on that topic than maybe any of your opponents?
The biggest difference difference is I'm an outsider. I'm not taking any special interest money, so I'm not going to be persuaded or bullied by the teachers' unions, by the special interest groups. I've got to run against George Bush's cousin in the primary. He's taking millions of dollars in from the Bush family network. I'm not taking any of those things. So I think track records matter. I mean, I'm very different. I mean, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 21 years old, a business owner. I've never signed anything other than the front side of a paycheck. I think that executive experience matters. I mean, we're electing the next CEO of the state, and that matters on issues around public education. That matters on issues around transportation and all the other big challenges facing our state, as well as the opportunities that we have that we're not exploiting. So I come at this very much as an outsider, as a reformer that's not going to be taken, not be taken in by special interests, that's really going to challenge and really ask the tough questions of our current bureaucracies and figuring out how to do more with less.
That's the voice of Victor Mitchell. His website, VicForColorado.com, or excuse me, VicForGov.
VicForGov.com, V-I-C, the number 4, G-O-V.com.
VicForGov.com, and learn more. We'll take calls in the next segment, 866-888-5449. And somebody just dropped, so I have one line open. Livermore, I'm coming to you. You're going to get to ask a question. Jay, stand by, 866-888-5449. If you want to talk to Victor Mitchell, you can. We're still going to talk pot. More on CDOT, more on PARA, more on who Victor Mitchell is, and you can ask the questions yourself, 866-888-5449. Grab a talk line and jump in here now. What kind of car do you drive? Do you drive a car that maybe is a Lexus, an Infiniti? How about a Isuzu, a Kia? How about you, Mazda, Subaru drivers? Listen, if you have a car that's an Asian line vehicle, you know that those cars are really dependable. They can run for a long, long time, but you got to take care of those Hondas. You got to take care of them. There's suggested maintenance that's due. Who do you take it to? You got to go to the dealer? I've got an alternative for you. Import Specialist of Fort Collins, they specialize in Asian line vehicles, from basic things like oil change to brakes and things along that line to suggested maintenance. And maybe the factory has said you should have this done every 10,000, 20, 30, 50, 60,000 miles. They can help you. And again, their specialty are the Asian line vehicles, and they can really save you some money in most situations over the dealership repair garages. Okay, so just check them out. They're great people. They're listeners of the program, and they've been family, locally owned and operated since about 1985. They're good folks. They have a full service body shop, a tow truck as well. But if you have an Asian line vehicle for regular maintenance, scheduled maintenance, or maybe it just broke down on you, listen, these are the folks that'll help you out. Import Specialist of Fort Collins. Their website, importspecialistfoco.com. They're located on West LaPorte Avenue in Fort Collins, not far from Poudre High School. But just go to their website, learn more, make an appointment, talk to them about that check engine light. Yep, they can help you. importspecialistfoco.com. ImportSpecialistFoco.com. Make sure you tell them that Jimmy Lakey's talking about them on the radio. ImportSpecialistFoco.com. I'll be back in a moment. Take your calls. Victor Mitchell, VicForGov.com is his website. He's a candidate for governor. What do you want to ask him? He could be the next governor of the state of Colorado. You got a question for him? Ask it. 866-888-5449.
This is Tim Jordan, an employee owner of Palmer Flowers. Our flower shop has been locally owned and operated in Northern Colorado since 1976, and we want to be your florist this Valentine's Day, which is just around the corner. Regardless of where your flowers are going, order them from a local florist for the best quality, value, and service. All of our arrangements can be seen and seamlessly ordered on palmerflowers.com. Or if you prefer to pick your arrangement out in person, please see us in Fort Collins at 3710 Mitchell Drive, just east of Horsetooth and College, or in Loveland at 1300 East Eisenhower at the corner of Eisenhower and Madison.
Nobody move! Seriously, I just lost my contact.
Sound familiar? How about...
Honey, where are my glasses?
What if you could lose those glasses and contacts altogether? There is no better time to rid yourself of the burdens of contacts and prescription glasses by having LASIK with the doctors at Eye Center of Northern Colorado. The doctors at the Eye Center are fellowship trained in their areas of subspecialty care and have been serving all of Northern Colorado and Wyoming's eye care needs for over half of a century. Still not sure if LASIK with the Eye Center is right for you? Schedule a complimentary complimentary consultation in our state-of-the-art facility and see why so many have chosen the Eye Center of Northern Colorado. Our professional and friendly staff will walk you through every step of the procedure, ensuring you are comfortable with your custom vision correction plan. To schedule your free LASIK consultation with Eye Center of Northern Colorado, call 970-221-2343 or visit us online at eyecenternoco.com. Again, that's eyecenternoco.com.
Rush Limbaugh.
The Democrats would love to be able to be giving a State of the Union speech with the State of the Union the way it is right now.
Rush Limbaugh.
But they can't. And they never will be because they don't support policies permitting things like what are happening in our economy now and throughout the country to happen. They would love to be able to say that their policies create this kind of economic boom, but they can't.
Rush Limbaugh, weekdays at 10 on Fox News Radio 600 KCOL.
You can listen to Coast anytime with iHeartRadio. It's just a great way for you to stay connected with this program wherever you might be. The iHeartRadio app, download it, enjoy it, and have some fun.
From Fox News Radio, 600 KCOL.
Take a trip back with this week's Rock Almanac.
Fly by night, goodbye, my dear. My ship isn't coming in.
Guys, it's me, Bald Freak Ronnie, here to take you on a trip back in time to this week in rock and roll history. Starting in 1975, when Rush released their sophomore album, Fly By Night, their first album with drummer lyricist Neil Peart. In 1974, Bob Dylan starts a four-week run at number one on the album chart with Planet Waves, his first number one. It includes the timeless song, Forever Young. In 1982, Ozzy Osbourne is arrested in San Antonio, Texas, for urinating on the Alamo. Ozzy's wearing a dress at the time of his arrest. And this week in 1999, Elton John appears as himself in a special episode of The Simpsons.
It's Elton John!
What's he doing in Springfield?
The singer who just announced he'll be retiring from touring appeared in the 14th episode of the 10th season of the show. The Simpsons aren't retiring, they're now in their 29th season.
There's your look back at this week's Rock Almanac.
888-5449. Victor Mitchell, his website, vicforgov.com. Let me bring Victor back in here and lock that line down. Victor, let's just take calls. We'll also got some messages coming in. This is Livermore, Colorado. We go to Jay. Lots of Jays calling us up today. Jay, how are you? Welcome in. You're on with Victor Mitchell.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Victor. How are you, sir?
Hi, Jay. How you doing?
I'm doing just good. Over the last several years, Mr. Douglas Bruce has been the subject of false prosecutions within the state of Colorado. It's my belief that this was done because of the fact that he has authored paper. False prosecution.
Jimmy, I can't hear his question.
Okay. He's asking. Okay, he can't hear it. Sorry about that. Maybe a little issue. I believe, Jay, you're asking, you think that Douglas Bruce has been attacked by prosecutors throughout the state because he authored Tabor, and you wanted to get Victor's take on that. Am I reading this question correctly?
Yeah, I have a little bit more.
Okay, go quick, because he can't hear you, so you're going to...
Okay, yeah, and basically what it amounts to is they have prosecuted him under non-existent laws. We've had the courts, we've had the Attorney General's office, and
gotcha. What's the
we've
question?
Had the Colorado Department of Revenue all going after Douglas Bruce for laws that don't exist.
Give me the question.
The question is, what will this candidate do to try and create justice under this situation?
Gotcha. Okay, let me pass that question along. You got to move quick, and you got to get to the question. And if it takes a while to run the premise, that may be you've got to lay a premise to a question. That's oftentimes too long of a question. Victor, he says that Douglas Bruce has been prosecuted under laws that don't exist and made up out of whole cloth. Is there something that the governor should do, can do, will do to right the wrongs that have been given to Douglas Bruce? I guess that's the summation of the question.
Yes, and the answer is that I don't know all the particulars about Doug Bruce. I actually, believe it or not, I served with him in the state legislature a decade ago. And, you know, he's a character. He's a colorful guy. But he actually has done a lot of good things for Colorado, most especially authoring the Tabor bill. Your premise is, the deep state, can they indict you for political purposes and possibly even gain a conviction? And the answer is yes. Yeah, I mean, that's very possible. I mean, we have a very crazy system where, you know, district attorneys and attorney generals are very partisan and political, which is unfortunate. I don't think attorney generals or district attorneys should be run as a nonpartisan race. The law is the law, and it should be applied evenly and equitably for all people. And is it possible that Doug Bruce was a political conviction? That is very possible, and that would be something I would look at and possibly even grant a pardon, or certainly, I don't know if I would go as far as guaranteeing we would grant him a pardon, but we would certainly consider it if, in fact, it was a political prosecution. Yeah. But these are the kinds of things that we have to really look at the way we're doing things. We have school boards, for example, that are nonpartisan, which I think should be partisan. Republicans and conservatives such as myself think that school choice is very critical, and our values are very, very different than Democrats that believe in, you know, a large bureaucracy to run our public education system. So I think people who run for school board should either be a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or what have you. But as far as people that are upholding our law that are in the judicial branch of government, no, I don't think so. I think that those people should run as nonpartisans, and so we can avoid even any potential conflict of political prosecutions.
Let me ask you, back to Tabor. Douglas Bruce obviously authored that, and there's been a lot of talk about Tabor is a problem in Colorado, the Democrats don't like it, and there's even been some squishiness on the part of Republicans. There's legislation now working it through. Some Republicans even supported about, instead of calling something a tax where it has to get voter approval, it's going to be called a premium. Of course, we had things called a fee. The faster tax was actually considered a fee, and even at times Republicans have been willing to be a little bit squishy on the intent of Tabor and change the words so that they aren't defined as a tax. Give me your thoughts on Tabor.
You're so right, Jimmy. I mean, right now under the President Trump's tax plan, the state of Colorado is going to get hundreds of millions, possibly $1 billion of excess revenues. One of my opponents, George Bush's cousin, said at a debate we just had a few weeks ago, he said 100% of that money is going to go into CDOT. We're not going to give any of that money back to the taxpayers. My Mitt Romney's nephew, one of my other opponents, said we're going to give half of it back to the taxpayers and half we're going to keep in state government. This money is found money. This money absolutely falls under the guidelines of Tabor and should be 100%. Return back to small business owners, to taxpayers throughout our state. It's their money. It's the people's money. It's not the government's money. And we elect these politicians that they think it's their money. They don't have no real perspective. They haven't made their careers in the private sector. They don't understand the heavy hand of government, how regulated we are, how overtaxed we are. So that's just an example of that. I mean, we've done so many things. Legislators do it all the time. They call something a fee when, in fact, it's a tax, so they can circumvent the intent of Tabor.
Yeah. That's the voice of Victor Mitchell. You want to jump in? I have a line open, 866-888-5449. I have a person says he's a former Republican. Now he's a Libertarian. Sent me a message and said, could you ask him maybe a tax that he thinks is good in Colorado and a tax that he thinks is definitely wrong in Colorado? And something that he thinks we're spending too much on in Colorado and something that we're not spending enough on.
Sure. For example, I would be in favor of increasing taxes on any kind of pornographic materials, online pornographic materials. I think that might make sense for a tax like that. I would generally probably support. I would say give you where we're overspending would be Medicaid. I mean, we've had a $650 million increase in Medicaid expansion since the Unaffordable Care Act was adopted here in Colorado since 2010. And make no mistake about it, Medicaid is rationed, low-quality care. 1 in 4 Coloradans are on Medicaid. I put forward a very bold and substantive plan to get us out of the exchange and provide block grants to entrepreneurial nurse practitioner clinics, physician assistant clinics, mental health professionals, where any Coloradan, rich or poor, urban or rural, could access primary care without the need for insurance, where insurance goes back to its fundamental issues. So that's an example of where I think that we're being overtaxed, and then in another area that where taxation might make sense.
Somebody here asked, they want to talk more about CDOT, and I'm all for that. And they even ask a real practical question that I've been asking for years. CDOT, first of all, I they drive me crazy, and I think they drive you crazy as well. But even little things, Victor, we can't get decent striping on the highways. I'm sure you've traveled. We have the worst traffic stripes and lane striping ever. They fade away. It's never reflective enough. I don't know where we come up with our striping, but you just got to travel to another state and realize we have a safety hazard on every highway in the state of Colorado. Little things like that, it seems like CDOT is just not even paying attention to.
CDOT is probably the most managed state bureaucracy in government. I actually met with the executive director of CDOT a few months ago. He's no longer with the firm. He had told me that he had spent his whole career in government bureaucracies going from one department to another. I mean, that's exactly the wrong person that should be running CDOT. We should really have an outsider, somebody that has a deep love and appreciation of Colorado, shares our ruggedness, our individualism, somebody that comes from the development background and wants to give back. And I plan on hiring such a person to manage and reform CDOT. I want to limit CDOT's overhead to no more than 20%, and where the remaining 80% will actually hit contractors' hands, whether it's striping or, you know, building new bridges, repairing our roads, modernizing our infrastructure in every way, shape, or fashion. I mean, we just basically have had the more than 70% of their budget today actually goes to overhead and waste and studies. It's often taking up to 12 years. You can't make this stuff up, Jimmy, up to 12 years to green light a project. I mean, what are they doing in years 3 or 4 or 5? I mean, you think about that. The time the 12-year period rolls around, I mean, what the original intentions of the project have probably completely changed. So it's going to take a reformer to come in and really challenge these bureaucracies to really do more with less. But, you know, we've got to change this mindset. We want to have more people starting small businesses. Right now, only about 8% of all of our early-stage businesses in Colorado, businesses that have been formed within the last 12 months, only about 8% of them today are small businesses. That's down from about 13% a decade ago. So fewer people are starting small businesses. People have really lost confidence and trust in our institutions. I hope to show people that actually competent, ethical, and visionary leadership could get elected and make a difference in people's lives.
Let me fire one more question before we go to the break, then I'll come back and talk about marijuana. And this is from a listener, and I don't know if we have that phone issue, so I just want to pass the question along to save time. It says, it sounds like Victor is using a lot of the phrasing of being the outsider. That was the same phrasing that Donald Trump used to successfully get elected. If he's the outsider, why did he not support Donald Trump in the last election? It sounds like they may be two peas in a pod. Your thoughts?
Everybody calls me the nice Donald Trump. That was kind of the parody. And by the way, I completely support the president. I think he's doing a lot of good things. I think the tax reform was incredibly important. I think that he's on the right track, and there's a very good chance we're going to get comprehensive immigration reform. I think it was a very bold move, moving the embassy to Jerusalem. I think he's done great on judicial appointments and deregulation. So I do support the president. I did not vote for the president, not because of where he stood on policies, but really because of his style and temperament. But you know what? That's in the past, and I want him to be successful. I've never made a disparaging comment about him, but we should also be honest and have an honest discussion that the next governor, if we're going to reform our Medicaid system, if we're going to reform our transportation system, if we're going to get regulations reduced, I want to roll back 100,000 pages of regulations. All these types of things have to be done by the next governor. Donald Trump cannot fix these things. We are Colorado. We have our own state rights. We have our own state challenges. We have our own opportunities facing our state. And I think only the next governor can exploit those opportunities and fix some of those challenges. So very much so. But, I mean, I know I did not vote for Trump. My opponents love to beat me over the head about that all the time. It's the first time in my life I voted for a third-party candidate. Having a son in the military and, you know, being raised by a single mother, his temperament gave me concern. But right now and so far since he's been elected, I've been fully supportive of most of what he's done.
We'll come back. I want to talk about marijuana. Cory Gardner's fighting that battle with Jeff Sessions. Get your take on that. Another question came up on what you just said, and it pops in real time in the chat room. Says, knowing what you know now, if the election were reheld today, would you vote for Donald Trump now, knowing, again, what we've learned in the first year of his presidency?
I probably would. I mean, I'd want to think about that some more, but I probably would. I mean, if all things consider going where we're going now, I probably would. I mean, I just wish he wasn't, you know, I think his style is very different than my style. I really believe that relationships matter. I think that, you know, I mean, the when I, you know, I served just 2 years in the legislature. I think more than 20 of my colleagues out of 24 other colleagues are supporting me. At the end of the day, when you're governor, you're not king, you're governor, and you've got to work with the legislative branch of government. You have to be able to get things done. I think relationships matter. I've tried to follow that creed throughout my whole career. You know, I've been in business for 30 years, six different companies. We've never had an employee labor dispute. We've never had an adversarial judgment against me or any of my companies in 30 years, never a single bankruptcy. And I think both relationships and track record really do matter, and I think we should expect more from our elected officials.
Hold tight. Victor Mitchell, his website, vicforgov.com, vicforgov.com. Come back. I'll try to squeeze in some more of your questions, and also I want to talk to him, and you may as well, about marijuana and the relationship that Colorado has with the federales when it comes to legalized recreational pot. Stand by. Fox News Radio, 600 KCOL.
This is Yvonne Myers with Columbine Health Systems. Healthcare is personal. It is up close. Healthcare matters. When we think of our own healthcare needs, we want to have close relationships with those we trust in sharing our healthcare decisions. The providers we choose matter. Columbine Health Systems has been in Northern Colorado since 1971. Continuity of care is the key to successful care. We are owned and operated by J. Robert Wilson for our entire 47 years. Our 1,500 employees work for us because they care about older adults. Ask any of them. Their ability to serve others, from providing care to a resident and billing and coding, in our warehouse, at Columbine Medical Equipment, or one of our pharmacies, their mission to care for others and make a difference in their lives is resounding. Caring for older adults is personal for Columbine Health System. Expertise about this population comes from our years of experience and caring. We know how important the choice of providers is because healthcare matters.
At Columbine, we care. It matters. At Columbine, your family.
All your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. That's iHeartRadio. All your favorite music.
This is Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones.
Hi, this is Mick Jones of Foreigner on iHeartRadio.
And iHeartRadio is all your favorite stations. Thousands of the best radio stations from across the country. Plus, iHeartRadio is free. Download the app today. All your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. iHeartRadio.
And now a look back at This Week in History.
This week in 1950, Disney's Cinderella opens in theaters across the U.S. The film took 6 years to make and was one of the highest grossing films in 1950. This week in 1959, Fidel Castro is sworn in as Prime Minister of Cuba. The United States initially recognized the new Cuban dictator, but withdrew its support after Castro launched a program of agrarian reform, nationalized U.S. assets on the island, and declared a Marxist government. Castro died November 25, 2016, at 90 years old. This week in 1972, the Volkswagen Beetle overtakes the Ford Model T as the world's best-selling car as the 15,007,034th Beetle rolled off the assembly line. The Model T was in production from 1908 to 1927. And this week in 1999, President Bill Clinton is acquitted on both articles of impeachment, perjury and obstruction of justice. On January 7, 1999, in a congressional procedure not seen since the 1868 impeachment trial of President Andrew Johnson, the trial of President Clinton got underway in the Senate, as instructed in Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution. The Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, William Rehnquist, at the time, was sworn in to preside, and the senators were sworn in as jurors.
That's your look back at This Week in History.
Rush Limbaugh.
Whatever else Donald Trump is, he's a patriot. He loves America. He thinks America is great.
Rush Limbaugh.
It's not part of a marketing strategy or a political strategy designed to get votes. It's who he is. To Donald Trump, life ought to be enjoyed. America is the greatest place to live your life. And on the opposite, the Democrat Party trying to destroy that and offer resistance to that? I just think every day they're hammering a little nail into their coffin and don't know
Rush
it.
Rush Limbaugh. Weekdays at 10 on Fox News Radio 600 KCOL.
Be in your bonnet, burr in your saddle, pimple on your booty. Call 866-888-5449 to talk to Jimmy.
All right, welcome to the program. Rocky Mountain Sugar Supply is a proud sponsor of this show. We're coming back to Victor Mitchell. A lot of Sweet Petals is like a receptionist. Everybody's like, I can't hold. Here's some questions. So we'll rapid fire with Victor Mitchell for one more segment. But Rocky Mountain Sugar Supply, I highly recommend, whether you are just now somebody that's maybe going to buy your first gun, maybe want to take a concealed carry class, maybe you just want some training on your existing guns, maybe you're a hunter, maybe whatever it is, whether you have one gun or many guns, Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply, worth the stop and worth the drive to get up to the store there. They're located on Mulberry, which is Highway 14 in Fort Collins. It's a superstore, but it's kind of that mom and pop feel. They're great people, family owned and operated, and they have all the guns, all the ammos, all the safes, all the things that you need to make. They even have additional, they have a great simulator, realistic simulator. They have an indoor shooting range there on the premises so you can try before you buy it. I mentioned guns, ammo, Liberty safes, all kinds of safes they have. They're different brands. They're fantastic. A vault door, maybe you're redoing your room, you want a vault door, they can help you with that. They're just good people, and you're going to like them. Family-owned and operated. RockyMountainShooterSupply.com. I mentioned, again, try it before you buy it. They have the indoor shooting range, and whether you're taking the concealed carry class or whether you just need additional training, RockyMountainShooterSupply.com. RockyMountainShooterSupply.com. Make sure you tell them Jimmy Lakey's talking about them on the radio. RockyMountainShooterSupply.com. All right, Victor, we're running already. It's amazing. Already short on time. We just got to zip here. Let's go real quick. If you can go quick, I'll ask quick questions. Let me rapid fire. We'll try to close up with pot. Caller wants to know your thoughts on Nathan Dunlop. We have Governor Hickenlooper kick the can down the road. What will Governor Mitchell do?
Well, I think that's, you know, I don't think the death penalty should be politicized. I think the death penalty should come down to whether, you know, the person is unequivocally guilty. Can it act as a deterrent for future other offenders? And do the victims' families, what do they say? Do they want the death penalty? Now, Nathan Dunlop seems to meet all the criteria, so yeah. I think that that would be something that would be seriously considered and very possible that we would go forward with the death penalty in that case.
Okay.
But I don't think it should be politicized. It's a life and death matter.
The question just said, ask Victor, is he going caucus or petition? Your route to the ballot.
Petition, so we can reach more people.
Got it. I want to ask, Cory Gardner's kind of drawn a line in the sand with Jeff Sessions and duking it out over Colorado's recreational pot marijuana laws. Victor Mitchell, what do you see? We have limited time, but try to concise this Reader's Digest version. Where are we at in your estimation? What needs to be fixed in the pot laws, and how do we handle the federal government if they want to clamp down on what we've chosen as a state?
Well, the federal government should have no say in what Colorado does with marijuana. I was strongly opposed to Amendment 64, but I think this is clearly a states' rights issue, and I would take any and all measures to fight the federal government if they were to try to overturn, you know, what's now embedded in our Constitution. The big challenge with marijuana is the revenues are being totally ripped off. We need transparency, accountability, public scrutiny with the money that's coming in and where it's going. I plan to have a website in real time. Shows you where the money's coming in and where it's going. I've talked just about, you know, more than a dozen school districts and superintendents around the state, and everybody says the same thing. The money's being totally ripped off. It's kind of been a bait and switch, and I hope to fix that.
Yeah. Everybody says, where's the marijuana money? Every time we go to the ballot, we have to vote for something for schools to be funded, and whatever happened to all that marijuana money, I think that's a question all of Colorado wants to know.
Absolutely. I mean, it's basically ending up in the general fund and being ripped off. That's why I think we need a website in real time where any Coloradans can see the money coming in and where it's going on, and putting an end to this basically siphoning off of, you know, they're reporting record sale after record sale, yet you talk to every superintendent, we have no money to implement vocational training. Our teacher salaries are some of the lowest in the country. We've got to do things much differently, and most especially that is real revenue that's coming into the state that we should be getting directly, 100% of it, directly into our public schools.
Victor, 30 seconds. People are going to be shopping for their candidate. They got a Stapleton, they got a Robinson, they got a Kaufman, they've got a Stephen Barlock. There's people out there. 30 seconds. Why should, when they're shopping for the governor's candidate, why should they choose you?
Well, because I'm the only outsider in the race. I'm the only non-politician in the race. I have the resources to beat Jared Polis, who's going to want to turn Colorado into a small California. I've been a lifelong entrepreneur and business owner. I'm a family man. We're a military family. Our son is turning his third year at West Point. And I bring a totally unique perspective to this race. I was raised by a single mother who's 90% blind and deaf. We were almost homeless as a child. I know what it is to overcome great adversity, but I also know what it is to rise up and become successful. So I think if people take the time, I think we can actually show that competent, ethical, visionary leaders can get elected and really make their lives better. And
I gotta stop
us
there.
To really serve the people and really care deeply and love Colorado. I think I could do a terrific job and really make people's lives better.
Your website, VicForGov.com, VicForGov.com. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Steve Vesey here with Vesey Funeral Service.